Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael, so glad you could be with us. We've got a jam-packed show with lots of special guests. But first, everything starts with the co-host of the program, senior Morning Call sports writer and king of all Lehigh Valley media, Mr. Keith Edward Groler. Keith?
You always build me up just so you want to knock me down. Well, hey, I just want to say this is the most wonderful time of the year. This is my favorite weekend of the entire year. Get the Final Four on Saturday, the opening of baseball on Sunday, the national championship on Monday, and then nonstop baseball the rest of the next week. It's a very exciting time, and I feel like a kid on Christmas morning.
And you get to be with me tonight and next Thursday. We don't have any breaks in programs.
You had to bring me down, didn't you?
By the way, congratulations on another successful year of your Keggers. A lot of people said, you know, they saw your article, which you people can catch, morningcall.com, for all the Keggers you had this year.
Yeah, they were cut down a little bit this year. I wasn't happy, but we got them all online, and you enhanced the whole thing by putting some great pictures and some not-so-great pictures on our show last week. I want to thank you. You might be in line for a Kegger, but never...
No. Please, I don't want one. I'll get demoted again here. I can't afford to have one. But there was one of the ones we did not get to last week. I had to show this one because we ran out of time, but there was one. And I have official copy from CNN on this one. The one anti-Kegger that we didn't get to that we need to get to. If you missed last week's show, make sure you watch it for all the Keggers and anti-Keggers. But this was the Kegger of all. This was for worst sign, and this is from CNN, so you know it's the truth here. This is a legitimate news organization press release. Because being king of all Lehigh Valley media was not enough, Mr. Keith Groler decided he has too much free time on his hands, and using an alias and by combing his hair differently, he ran for president of the United States.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Seen here with his second beautiful wife, Melania, for the swearing-in ceremony, although she refused to continue this charade any longer, and for that we have to give Mr. Groler an anti-Kegger.
It's fake
award.
News. Fake
this
news,
from
I
CNN.
Said.
CNN. You can't fake dispute news. This. Come on. All right, let's introduce our special guest now. We have, from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, Vice President in charge of marketing and entertainment, Lindsay Knupp, Director of Media Relations Broadcasting and the voice of the Iron Pigs on the radio, Mr. Matt Province. Gentlemen and ladies, thanks for joining us here in studio. And we're joined via the phone lines by Stephen Gross, Philly's Morning Call beat writer. I was hoping to get him flying back from Clearwater, too, but he's actually back in the Lehigh Valley now. So, Steve, let's welcome you in and welcome to Sports Talk as well, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. We want to start with the rosters and, you know, some last-minute news in the last hour or two as the Phillies pare down their official opening day roster, and we'll get your take on it, and Lindsay and Matt can chime in as well. For people who did not hear it, Phillies made their final roster moves. Adam Morgan supposedly is the long man in the bullpen, Jolie Rodriguez, the situational lefty, so those are the last two pitching spots for the Phillies opening day roster. And then David Nava, a utility outfielder, Daniel Nava, and Brock Stassi, who was with the Iron Pigs last year, maybe the most consistent player at AAA a year ago, they make the roster. Brock, of course, is a great story. There's clips all over the internet of him crying this afternoon when he heard the news. But, Steve, I wanted to get your thoughts on the last couple roster decisions and the opening day roster for the Phillies.
Yeah, I don't think any of them were too big of surprises. Chris Coughlin, maybe, getting cut, that was one that I think a lot of people had as a lock going into this last week. And so him getting cut on Tuesday, I believe it was, that was probably the most surprising out of all the moves. But, you know, going into today, it seemed like that's how things were going to kind of shake out, especially in the bullpen. They needed a long man. You were down to Adam Morgan was really the only one. And then he was the only lefty in the bullpen then if you go with him. So Rodriguez made sense there just to have another lefty in the bullpen there because everybody else going into this last week, his locks were all right-handers there.
Yeah, real quick about the bullpen, Jamar Gomez, I believe, is going to be the closer now. Last year he looked good for most of the year and then kind of faltered down the stretch run. I guess he's going to be the closer to start, but I would imagine he's on a much shorter lease this year for Pete McCann. So how do you see the rest of the bullpen shaking out?
Well, Pete McCann with Jenmar Gomez, Pete McCann talked about confidence there and just having the confidence in him. He said, you know, he went into the year last year. They didn't have a closer. Gomez took over the role and for most of the year pitched well in that role. So he said, you know, he gave him that performance last year. He has to at least going into this year have the confidence in him and give him the chance to do what he did for most of the year last year. So, you know, I don't know how long the leash will be. You know, I think if there's a rough April, maybe even getting into May, I don't think you're going to go too long here if Denmark pitches to the beginning of this season the way he pitched last season. But even just with some of the acquisitions they had here in the offseason, Pat Neshek, you have Benoit now in the bullpen. It just gives Pete MacKinnon a lot more options there, and he really talked about the depth he has. So I don't know if you're necessarily going to see, you know, I think Neris should probably pitch the eighth, but, you know, you have a number of any of those guys that really I mentioned there could pitch the eighth inning. They could pitch the seventh inning. It also gives Pete MacKinnon the opportunity to, you know, I know Neris, there's a lot of talk last year of overusing Neris, possibly things like that. He can run some of these pitchers out and switch off if they pitch, you know, two nights in a row. Mm-hmm. He can throw somebody else out in the eighth, any of those guys that I just mentioned. So it really gives him, it should give him a lot more options, assuming these guys stay healthy and pitch like they're expected to.
Steve, I always ask you about this time every year. What can we expect? Can we expect a team that's going to stay in contention most of the summer? Is this a playoff team, or is it going to be much like we've seen the last couple years? Where would you lean of those three options?
On paper, I would say that they're a little bit better than last year, and they have a shot at going 500. That would be my prediction at this point. You know, I would probably set the win total mid-70s, so that would be a couple wins better than last year. But there's so many wild cards on this roster because some of the guys that they brought in during the offseason, for instance, Michael Saunders, Clay Buchholz, even Benoit, they all had really up and down. You know, half the year last year they were really good, and the other half they were really not so good. So it all depends on what kind of pitcher or player that they're going to get from, or seasons they're going to get from these guys. If they can get, you know, Clay Buchholz, how he finished the year, he finished pretty strong. If Buchholz pitches like that again, and you get a similar performance from the rest of the starting rotation that you did last year, that starting rotation is going to be pretty good, and they're going to get you some wins there. But it's just there's so many guys like that you really don't know on this roster what kind of performance you're going to get. And really what I saw this last start from Buchholz in the spring, he looked like the guy that he was in the first half of last season, which would not bode well for him or the Phillies.
Steve and Matt Provins here with the Iron Pigs, of course. You mentioned some guys that could go either way and we don't really know about. Tommy Joseph was a great story last year, maybe the best for the Iron Pigs in a while, a feel-good story after all he went through with the injuries, had the big year when he went up to Philadelphia. How has he looked in spring training, and do you see him maybe growing on what was a very solid year, 257, you know, 20 or 21 home runs in just over maybe 60% of a year? How do you see him fitting into his sophomore year here with the Phillies?
He's put together some good at-bats from what I've seen of him in spring training. You know, I think he can get he should get a little bit better offensively this year. I know one of the things he's focused on is upping his OBP, his on-base percentage this year. And really a lot of the players, the big focus with the new hitting coach, Matt Stairs, is staying in the middle of the field, hitting gap to gap. I talked with Joseph about that. He's buying into it. A lot of the other players, Freddie Galvis, who had the lowest on-base percentage out of qualified hitters last year, he's another guy that is buying into that. You know, I think, and Joseph was talking about just focusing on that in spring training. It just kind of keeps him balanced. Just his whole body at the plate, his hips, everything. He said he feels a lot more comfortable when he's focusing gap to gap. So if he stays in that, I think you can see I think he should get over 20 home runs again this year. And the other numbers, the average, the on-base percentage, I think all those could creep up as well as long as he stays with that approach.
Steve, Aaron Nola, I thought, was the biggest question mark coming into spring training because if he's on, he was a number one draft pick. You count on him to be, at worst, the number three in your rotation long term. He's coming in off an injury. I saw him on TV a couple weeks ago. Didn't look overly impressive. And then the other night, and probably what was his tune-up game, he got hammered. So what's his health status? Is he still trying to come back from the injury? Is he not quite 100%? Or are we going to see more bad outings from Aaron Nola, at least to start the year?
He said he felt, after that outing, he told us that he felt great. And watching him, I mean, the first inning, he gave up a leadoff double, and then he had a couple strikeouts. He finished that first inning really strong, and he looked like Aaron Nola when Aaron Nola's on top of his game. So I have to believe him there. I don't think he has any health concerns. And then the second inning, it was just a matter of, which he wasn't able to get out of, it was just a matter of locating his pitches. He left some of the pitches up. He left his fastball up. I think he left some changeups up. And then when he did get anything in the zone, they were hitting it hard. So I think it's just about location with him. Maybe it's, you know, just being injured coming off of that. Maybe it's taking him a little bit longer to find the location and stay consistent with it. So I think that's going to be the biggest key for him because, you know, as bad as if you just look at the line from the other night, you thought, wow, you know, he didn't even get out of the second inning. But he did have some good stuff in that first inning. He looked pretty good there. So if he can just be consistent with that and keep the ball down, I think he'll be okay in the long run.
Steven, my last question for you, obviously a segue into maybe the Iron Pigs part of the show, but when I was down in Clearwater, everybody said, man, the team you're going to get is going to be unbelievable. Oh, you're going to get this guy. You guys are going to be loaded. You guys are going to be stockpiled. You saw some of these guys. Roman Quinn was up for a while. Talk about what you saw from Quinn and really if anybody else stood out that is ticketed maybe to start in the Lehigh Valley, but a guy that could be on short notice to be in Philadelphia early in the year.
Yeah, you know, Roman Quinn, and when he came up last year as a September call-up, the short time he played, he was impressive there, too. I think that's a guy, and a couple people within the Phillies organization have told me the biggest thing with Roman Quinn is his health. If he can stay healthy, he's a major league player. He can play on that team. He can be with the Phillies, you know, definitely by the middle part of this year. So I think the biggest key for him at AAA is just to prove that he can keep doing what he's doing and prove that he can stay on the field. And then with looking at guys that were sent down that had really good springs, I mean, you look at the last move that the Phillies made, Valentin sending him down, he made that decision really tough for the Phillies for that last bench spot. And, you know, obviously going up to the second last day of their spring camp, basically. So, you know, he hit well. He fielded well. He really opened a lot of eyes at the major league level and really kind of, I think, put himself on their radar by the spring he had.
Steve, there's another guy you saw, but he's going to start the year with the Iron Pigs in all probability. He's a switch pitcher, which doesn't come along that often. I remember the Phillies had Greg Harris a few years ago, an ambidextrous pitcher who was mostly a right-handed pitcher, but he always said, you know, if there's a tough lefty and I'm in the game, I feel very comfortable putting the glove on the other hand and throwing left-handed. But could you talk about the switch pitcher and the rules that are involved for initially the Iron Pig fans and then maybe for the Philadelphia baseball fans if he gets a chance?
Yeah, when before he throws to a batter, he just has to let them announce which hand he's going to throw with, and then he has to throw with that hand for the complete at-bat. But, you know, it's so neat to just to watch that. I know I saw him in spring training. I believe it was with the Blue Jays the other year, and it was just – it's always neat to watch him, and he goes on the mound. And even just warming up, he'll throw a couple pitches right-handed. He has a six-finger glove just so he can switch the glove back and forth, you know, to the left hand and to the right hand while he's out there using, you know, the same glove. But, yeah, he'll throw a couple pitches right hand, then he'll switch. He'll throw a couple pitches left-handed, and then he'll, you know, he's ready to start the inning. But, he's effective, too, because I think it was his first start with the Phillies or his first appearance with the Phillies this year in spring. Came right into the game, and I believe he struck out the side. So, you know, he's somebody that can be effective, and that is definitely, you're always looking for pitching matchups. If you can throw a pitcher like that in there to be effective that can, you know, go pitch right-handed and left-handed all in one guy, you know, that definitely can be an asset as long as he proves that he can be effective.
Before we let you go, Stephen Gross of The Morning Call joining us, Phillies beat writer. Two notes that you had on your Twitter page and were on themorningcall.com as well. You opined today that the lineup the Phillies use today is probably going to be their opening day lineup or their regular lineup going forward. Cesar Hernandez leading off, Howie Kendrick second, Michael Franco in the cleanup spot, Michael Sanders behind him. So how confident are you in that lineup? It looks like it's improved from last year. And the other bit of news that you just tweeted out a little while ago, Tyler Goodell, a player who was on a 40-man or a Rule 5 player, had to stay on the roster all of last year. They kept him. They just DFA'd him, which means they could lose him. So what's the status with Tyler Goodell, and what are your thoughts on their opening day lineup?
As far as the opening day lineup, yeah, I think it definitely should be improved. They wanted two professional hitters. That was the number one priority going into the offseason. Pete Maccannon, he wanted those two professional hitters in there to kind of take some of the heat off of Franco's shoulders and just to provide quality veteran at-bats for, you know, all the rest of the younger guys in the lineup, like Tommy Joseph, like Odubel Herrera, you know, Cesar Hernandez, just to show how you have an approach, because Michael Franco admitted over the offseason that he really didn't have an approach last year, so kind of wanted to get those veterans in there and have that approach. But yeah, up and down the lineup, I think this is definitely, I mean, the offense could not get much worse than it was last year, but, you know, this should be a little bit improved. And as far as Goodell goes, you know, looking at the 40-man, that was probably made the most sense to DFA him. It's still tough, though, because obviously, like you said, as a Rule 5 pick, they kept him on the roster all season. That's somebody that they would like to keep in the organization. So it'll be interesting to see here what happens over the next couple of days if he makes it through. And he can go down. He'll probably, if he stays with the organization, he'll probably, I would think, go to Double A, go all the way back to Double A. He's never played at Triple A as a Rule 5 pick. He had to go right up to the majors. But just with how stacked the outfield should be at Triple A with the Iron Pigs, you know, I think he would have to go back to Double A. But I think for him, it's just a matter of developing as a player, coming up through the minors. I think he still has a shot. You know, he showed, there was, I think in May it was last year, a couple of weeks where, you know, he hit the ball. He proved he can play there. He just kind of has to develop a little bit more and put everything together. So there's a chance there, but he does need to come up through the minors wherever he is.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for your time. Continued success with the morning call with your Phillies coverage, and we'll look forward to you reading about you for opening day and beyond on morningcall.com and, of course, in the paper.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen Gross, beat writer for The Morning Call. And before we get to our break, we have the trivia coming up. And Lindsay and Matt, you've brought along some nice prizes for us to give away. Keith, do you want to Vanna White it and show off what prizes
Keith,
we have
Vanna
for the trivia?
White,
oh, yeah. You're, here they are. Nice ticket vouchers. I'll tell you what, all the prizes that you've given away on this show, I think this is the best one.
You could get in some hot water by saying that, but they are very nice prices.
They are. I mean, dude, this is a wonderful thing. 10th anniversary season. We can't wait to get it started.
All right. So that's going to go to the winner of tonight's trivia question. We'll read off the question. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back to hear more about the upcoming Iron Pig season with Lindsay and Matt. Tonight's question, what was the team name and the host city of the Phillies AAA team before they became the Iron Pigs here in the Lehigh Valley? This is their 10th year anniversary season coming up, but what was this team, the Phillies AAA team, before they moved to the Lehigh Valley and became the Iron Pig? So again, the giveaway, the prize, we have a pair of four vouchers for the 10th anniversary season to the 2017 Iron Pig schedule. We'll take a break and be back with more insights and previews for the Phillies and the Iron Pigs in the minor league system after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, along with Lindsay Knupp and Matt Province from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. He may be the king of all media, by the way, but Keith Crowley doesn't know how to hold up here.
Sorry.
These are vouchers. You're supposed to explain, too.
I thought they were going to get a good close-up of it.
No. You got to hold them up like this here. Show them off. And by the way, this voucher entitles the bearer to one complimentary ticket for any Monday through Thursday game during the 2017 schedule. So we have two packs of four. Again, any ticket you want for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday games, you can break them up, go to different games if you want to give them as presents. A lot of nice use out of that. So there's a lot of nice things on tap for the 10th anniversary season. So, Lindsay, we'll start with you to talk about some of the highlights for this season coming up.
There's a lot of them. I don't know if you've heard about the new video boards.
No, we haven't.
Once you come to the ballpark and see them, it's phenomenal. It's huge. They're HD. They're the best of the best of what you're going to see there. So that's exciting. Opening night, you'll certainly get to see our new jerseys. They're reflective. So it's all gold. I know the 10th anniversary is not necessarily gold, but we're embracing gold because, you know, we like it.
It looks great.
So, yeah, the jerseys, if you take a picture with your camera and the flash goes off, you see a nice little, like, reflective image. So it's really cool. The caps that we're going to wear have gold on them. So, you know, that's going to be something new. Lots of new 10th anniversary items. I think there's 10 featured items throughout the year that we're going to be giving away. Fleece blankets, pennants, the 10th anniversary garden gnome, hats, lots of different things.
Special trading cards, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Matt designed them. They're pretty sweet.
The playing cards, the deck of the 10th anniversary team. Yeah, it's pretty
sweet.
Neat.
So the aces will be like a pitcher.
That's an August date. I just got my tickets for that one today.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about the Steve Carlton tonight, but the playing deck night's going to be pretty sweet.
So our fans have voted on the top position players of the top 10 team. Matt put it all together, and the deck of cards will feature the top 10 voted players, our 10th anniversary fielded players.
And then you mentioned Steve Carlton night. That's coming up in May. Steve Carlton will actually be in the ballpark.
That's what I hear, May 11th.
Well, he knows the Valley. He's been here a couple times now, and he loves it here. So I'm sure he'll put on a good show for everybody.
He'll be here
to
sign autographs. And he wanted the bobblehead to have a flat base specifically so that he could sign autographs on the base of the bobblehead.
For a guy who didn't talk to the media, he's very media-friendly, very public-friendly. I mean, he just he got burned when he was in Philadelphia back and just said, I'm not talking to reporters. But he couldn't be more gracious. He's one of the nicest pro athletes I've ever met. And he's going to be a great addition to the schedule here at Coca-Cola Park.
And another one of the great giveaways, you have Nick Williams that's also on our table here, one of the stars of this year's team.
Yes. So we have a Nick Williams bobblehead, a J.P. Crawford bobblehead, and a Jake Thompson bobblehead as well. Mm-hmm. We kind of featured Nick Williams in a little bit of a different pose here. We went with the superhero theme. It's not superhero night, but he did the diving catches so much that it just kind of fit naturally to have him in this superhero pose. And it should be a pretty neat item, a collector's item for sure.
One of my annual features used to be visiting you in your office and finding out what was new. And we haven't done it for a couple of years now, but it's a great challenge to keep coming up with new products that are, and it's a hit or miss type of thing. Some things work out better than you ever expected, and some maybe you thought were going to be a great, you know, a favorite of everybody's, and maybe that didn't work out that way. But you're in like a player. You got to be in the zone here. And
I'm in the zone all the time, Keith.
You're the busiest lady in that ballpark every night. I always say that. But there's a challenge, and you feel like this lineup is a very good lineup this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think our giveaways this year are phenomenal. We've done a unique thing with our fireworks. We have a new fireworks company that we're working with that we can theme the fireworks with different music acts. So, for example, the Beatles are going to be the first one to kick it off. We'll do all the greatest Beatles songs for fireworks. Zac Brown Band, Taylor Swift, Kenny Chesney, Michael Jackson, of course, like all of these great entertainers throughout the decades. Yeah. And we're going to put them each on their own fireworks night and feature them throughout the entire show, which will be pretty cool. And I think the fireworks music will kind of be in tandem with the fireworks that are coming off. So it'll be pretty neat.
Any you always have some really unique ideas too. Is there any kind of more off the wall idea? Matt has a big smile there.
Well, I'm just thinking. Well, glowing jerseys,
big video board.
We've run the gamut. You know, a couple of things that we're doing this year is John Schaefer, who's obviously you guys know John. He's on the air with me. He and Lindsay are VPs. Has really worked hard on a food finder app. There's so many new food items that we're adding to the ballpark. So the question is, why have people kind of walk around wondering where these items are, where they can go to their phone and bing, bang, boom, get whatever they want. You know, there's some crazy options as every year. There's new additions to our lineup. So from a food perspective, there'll be a lot of new items. Lindsay helped to, you know, develop a pork passport program that we are initiating this season. We've got the food finder app. There's so many things. You got to credit our management because they have charged us with the responsibility and the ability, really, to go ahead and do all these crazy things to kind of stay fresh, stay new, stay on the cutting edge. You know, the bacon versus taco night,
right here,
which Lindsay can talk a little bit about this cap, but we have this big promotion going on right now with Fresno. Just really cool, fun stuff that you don't necessarily see at the major league level.
Yes, we are in bacon versus tacos. We're obviously Bacon USA. Yeah. We put out the Bacon logo. Fresno, they're a team in California. They kind of piggybacked off of us and did Fresno tacos. Then we went back to cheesesteaks. So it's been this, like, food fight that's just been kind of ingrained in both of our teams. They're in California, we're in Pennsylvania, obviously coast to coast, both doing great things. So we thought, you know, we came up with this Fighting Bacon logo. They have a Fighting Tacos logo. So there is a whole Bacon vs. Tacos campaign going on right now. If you go online, baconversetacos.com, you can actually vote for Team Bacon or Team Tacos.
And that's a tough choice. Whoever, bacon, everyone loves
but
bacon.
But whoever loses, the loser has to wear the other team's cap on field at during a game in June.
Wow.
So fans, you have to get out there, vote Team Bacon. Yeah. Hashtag Team Bacon.
I vote for Matt.
Me too.
If you do lose.
I mean, me too.
Yeah. All right. Again, we have that trivia question out there. We have two packs of four vouchers, good for any game during the season on Monday through Thursdays. We have Scott from Allentown that wants to take a guess. Scott, welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening?
Great, thanks. Yourself?
Pretty good here, especially with all these giveaways. Let's see, the question again, what was the original name or the name before the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs became the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs? What was the franchise name?
I'm going to throw this Toledo Mud Hens.
Oh, that's a big-time name, but incorrect, Scott. Good guess, though.
Kurt Lance right. might have come from, he came from Ohio somewhere, right?
He did intern back in the day with the Toledo Mud Hens, so at least Scott was somewhere along the lines of you know, potential there with the answer.
All right, Scott, are you looking forward to baseball season starting?
I sure am. Can't wait. Once the weather clears up, it'll be good to go.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about the field, too, because I know the high schools are battling. A lot of high schools are just getting their first baseball and softball games underway this afternoon, as a matter of fact. So, Steve, thanks so much for joining
tonight.
Us.
Doubleheader already.
Yeah. There's a lot of doubleheaders coming up. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
All right, you too. So we still have that question out there. What was the team name and the host city for the Phillies AAA team
that
before they came?
I mean, I could see them picking a Scranton-Wilkes-Barre team or whatever.
Well, that was your guess.
But no, I didn't. I know I knew the correct answer.
You're
but
trying
I thought,
to steal the prize.
I thought we were
going to
get an
break.
Answer that had the former franchise up at Scranton.
Several of the emailers so far have gotten the correct answer, but callers do get priority. So if you think you know the answer, Don't wait and think your email is going to last. So make sure you give us a call and try to get on board that way.
I got to say this. We had Scott Fransky on last week, and I complimented him quite a bit. Yes. This guy, too. These guys are the soundtrack to my summer because I'm not always at the ballpark. I don't have the beat. I never had the beat. But I, you know, I've done some games, obviously, fill in here, fill in there. So I like, when I'm driving around this valley covering girls' softball with Lindsay Nepsom's former Northampton softball.
Yeah, you mentioned it a few times.
She can still ball. She can still ball.
I know that. I know that. I can, and she knows from our media game. But anyway, I just love putting on the Iron Pigs and listen to them. You never know what's going to come out from Matt. You just never, he's like our local John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees. I don't think you do that. It is high, it is far, it is gone. But you do a lot of good stuff, Matt, and you keep me entertained as I'm battling that traffic on 22 or zipping down 78 or making my way from Whitehall to Emmaus or whatever.
He's music to our ears.
No, he's fantastic. I mean, really,
you've entertaining. Been around. Keep us around. We had some really bad teams early on. And I had to do something to keep my sanity. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is you never know what's going to come out of my mouth on the air. Lindsay will tell you, it's the same way in office meetings, it's in staff functions, it's the same way around the office too. But, you know, it's fun, and I've been blessed to work with the same partner on air with John, who I mentioned earlier.
You make a nice mix.
We're a package deal. Yeah. You know, any major league team can come call him, but they're not getting one, they're getting two. We're going to get into two of them. And Lindsay's going to come too and be the on-field MC for whatever major league team that makes the leap.
All right, our special in-studio guests, Matt Provence and Lindsay Knupp from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs with their season starting next week. Right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith gets to sound off and talk about anything on his sports mind.
Well, I want to give my friends Lindsay and Matt extra time, so I'm going to go. I'm trying to keep this brief.
Just want to salute a couple people. Want to salute Jenna Sear from Southern Lehigh, Reese Jones of Bangor. They raised the most money, and they were the scholar athletes. Actually, they were scholar athletes from the VIA banquet. Jenna also raised the most money for the great VIA cause. And there's some four games on Saturday. If you love basketball, you don't want the season to end, get out there. You could still be home in time to watch the Final Four. Want to mention our former, well, he's still a colleague here, but we love Joe Craig, and we certainly love what his son Doug Craig did at Woodson High School in Virginia, Fairfax, Virginia. They were the 6A state champions. He was the coach of the year. Well done for a former Freedom Patriot. I know it's a little different in Virginia. They have separate tournaments for the privates and the public, and well done by Doug. And speaking of that private public, real quick, look at the PIAA. Usually I go out to Bob Lombardi out there, ask him that question. He says, nothing's happening. Well, last Friday when I went out there for the PIAA basketball championships, he gave me something different. He said they're forming or have already formed a competition committee. I hope these guys take this seriously. Take a look at what needs to be done here. I mean, I'm tired of the complaints. Chris is tired of the complaints. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they're going to do something to deter the unlevel playing field, if that's what you want to call it. And most of the problems exist down in Philadelphia. You guys are going to form this committee. You're going to invest the time. You get everybody excited. Do something. And think it out. Think it thorough. And do something. Because I think everybody is tired of that dark cloud that's over these PIAA championships about how different teams constitute their teams in different ways. So do something.
That's all right. It. And speaking of the state champions, quick programming note here in some upcoming weeks. Next week, we're going to have the Nazareth wrestling team on our program, the first of several shows to honor Lehigh Valley and RCN teams from our viewing area that have won state championships. Nazareth, we were supposed to have them on a couple times. It got moved once because of basketball playoffs and then the weather. So we're going to have them on next week. And then coming up once again this spring and summer, just like we've done in years past, we're going to do more shows from Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall with some live programs.
Am I invited to those shows?
Absolutely. We want you to come
out
for those.
You're going to buy some Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, let's not go that far here. But we're going to have the special state championship winners. That way the parents can come out, the whole family. You can bring relatives. That way they can see their kids and be part of the show at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. We've started contacting some of the winners from the fall. Of course, we have Bethlehem Catholic that just won last week. And hopefully we'll get some more with the spring sports season as well. So keep watching for details here on the Sports Talk, or watch us online at rcn.com/RCNTV, and we'll have the dates and the teams that we'll be featuring for upcoming shows at Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. We'll be back with more right after this timeout. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Keith was sucking up to Matt in the last segment. Now he's ripping him during the commercial. Some respect for the guest. No. You're just tearing him to shreds here.
Look, I'd tear myself to shreds if I wasn't Lindsay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's all by comparison.
Well, my father, I got to give my father a plug. My father was the president, maybe the sole. No, he's not the sole member.
You're ripping him. I'm kidding.
My father, Rocky Gruller, president of the Matt Province Fan Club.
Boy, you just mentioned Joe Craig. Now you're back to flip-flopping all over the map here, from one way to another. All right, time for the roundtable. That's where we have a variety of different topics that we put before our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions. Of course, as always, you can weigh in via social media or email us a comment at any time. So topic number one, World Baseball Classic wrapped up. Great ratings, BAFO ratings. And yet I talked to some people in the Lehigh Valley about it, and they're like, well. So I want to get the definitive answer from the three of you. World Baseball Classic this year, was it wonderful, like this great thing? Was it good? Was it okay?
It was good, but it was too late. I mean, the people had to stay up and miss work the next morning to catch the end of these games. They ended way too late. I don't know what Matt thought about it.
I was going to ask Lindsay.
Go ahead. Let her go. I'm sorry.
I was going to go,
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I watched, I think, an inning and a half of it. But Matt, what do you say?
I watched it only because I had to have something on in the background as I was doing work and whatever else I was doing. Hey, look, I mean, my whole thing is the idea is decent in practice, but it's right during spring training, which I don't like. If I was a general manager of a major league team, I would not like it. If I was a manager of a team, I wouldn't like it. The other thing that's so crazy is then you have teams like, say, Team Israel. Not one guy on the team, maybe one guy was born in that country. Yeah. And I think that's my biggest issue. If you want to make it truly like the Olympics for baseball, then we need to adhere to kind of better, stricter restrictions. But to have a guy who had a mom or a grandmother who lived there and this guy spoke the language, so put him on the team, a little hokey for me.
Great point. Yeah.
All right, before we continue more, we have more guesses for our trivia question. One more time, the question, what was the team name in the host city of the Phillies AAA team before they moved to the Lehigh Valley and became the Iron Pigs? We'll get a couple more guesses on the phone. First, Ed from Whitehall. Ed, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, thanks for joining us. I'm doing well. What's your guess here for the answer?
This is 10 years ago. I say Ottawa.
Ottawa is the city. We need the correct team name, though.
Oh, wow. This is a guess. How about Red Barons?
No, you kind of crossed teams, though. You're close there.
When they were in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, yeah. That's what they were called.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they went, I didn't know when they left Scranton-Wilkes-Barre and went to Ottawa, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that was the transition year they went out to Ottawa.
Well, if I'm wrong, I have no idea what it was.
You got half of it, Chris. Give him a ticket.
Give him two.
They're not my tickets. We'll see what we can work out
here.
Give him two. All right.
Yeah, I mean two out of four.
All right. Let's get one more phone caller in here, too. Thanks, Ed, for joining us. Jack from Easton is our last caller tonight. Jack, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just Ducky.
Ducky?
What is that?
Oregon fan. He's an Oregon fan.
That's a big name. Oregon fan.
No, that's not where I'm going with this.
All right. What's your guess here? We need the correct city and the team name.
I knew it was Ottawa, but I have to admit I had to look up the other one. It was the Ottawa Lynx.
The Ottawa Lynx is correct.
Google.
There.
Thank God for the internet.
So he gets the other two?
Well, I knew it was Ottawa.
You guys are going to figure this out, how this gets divvied up now. Keith should buy him something, too. You should buy him from Whitehall something.
With the guy from Whitehall? Yeah. I'll take him out. I'll buy him something at the Hot Wing Show or the Buffalo Wing Show.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Well, you're just annoying everyone here today. Mm. All right, Jack, thanks for joining us. So we'll be in contact with you with something here.
Okay, hey, whatever you got.
We can't tell you what, but it'll be something.
And I love the Iron Pigs, man. I love Matt. Love the whole shebang.
Well, so does Keith during certain segments. Every other segment, he thinks he's wonderful.
All right, guys.
Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Jack.
All right, so we got the trivia question settled.
I was worried it was Jack Logic, by the way. Thank God it wasn't Jack Logic.
Why were you worried about Jack? Are you going to rip him now?
Hear that voice, that squeaky voice, Jack Logic.
Can I say that?
He's a
wonderful job helping out the community.
Actually, I was on the phone with him earlier today talking about the official
exciting. Sport. I love Jack. I love his passion.
Oh, here you go. Flip-flopping again.
He's going in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, good.
He's going in the Lehigh Valley Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, good for Jack.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the Lehigh Valley Hall of Fame?
It's a new concept. It's an organization that's been inducting people, and he's going into the Hall of Fame this year.
When do I get in that?
Yeah, Keith, come on. You're sucking up to her. Come on.
I'm going
to
lead the campaign as soon as this show ends.
I don't know if you want him in your corner, though, after all this. Mm. All right, is there anyone else you'd like to rip here, or can we move on here?
Let's move on.
All right, topic number two, top Iron Pigs to watch this spring. They have some great prospects. We only got 2 minutes left here, Matt. So who are the prospects to watch starting the year?
For me, the starting pitching, Jake Thompson and Ben Lively. And for nothing else, I love a good long ball. Dylan Cousins had 40 home runs. He's about 6'6", 240, all muscle. Stole 20, 21 bases, so power, speed. He'll strike out a little bit, but I'm okay with that. Give me some Dylan Cousins.
Yep. All right, and topic number three, what's the top Iron Pig attraction for that? We'll go to Lindsay. What's the attraction this year?
Well, we talked about the video board, but there's 8 different video boards going on throughout the ballpark. I mean, it's going to be just phenomenal to experience a game there with all the new HD things going on. The picnic patio, Burke's Food Picnic Patio on the third base side, where it used to be tables of 8, some people facing backwards, they're now all facing forward. So that's a whole new experience for any group that wants to be out in the picnic patio. You know, it'll be a one-of-a-kind experience, like definitely top-notch, sitting with your own little, you know, drink rail. It'll be great.
Sounds Burke's really hot good. Dogs are the best. Mm-hmm.
And real quick, Keith, who's going to win the NCAA tournament?
I'm going to say the North Carolina. I'm not a fan, but I'm going to say the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Good, because that's who I had in my bracket. All right, Lindsay and Matt, thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck on the 2017 season.
Thanks for having us.
And, thank you so much.
Yeah, come out to the ballpark.
Two local treasures right here, I mean it. Especially this young lady.
Especially.
I agree with you.
Yeah, because you hate Matt this segment.
I'm just average.
All right, in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Washington Post Gene Wang talking about the firing of John Thompson III as the head coach at Georgetown in the men's basketball program. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. But as we go to break, Easton High School held an event featuring their their new football coaching ensemble to a public meeting last night at the high school. Our Sports Talk cameras were on hand and spoke with the new leaders of the Rovers program.
It means the world to me because I grew up in this community. I mean, I was born, I lived two blocks from the stadium when I was a kid.
I know.
Just being a part of this community has been a huge part of my life. And it seems like over the last couple of years, we've just had some disconnect between the community and the football program and the youth sports programs and, you know, for whatever the reasons were. But I want to try and get the Easton football community back together again.
I played football at Easton. I was quarterback back in 92 and 93. It's just the community, it's the involvement of everybody involved. The passion, I think, is very important in Easton, which makes it very special here. The new regime, we're going to start some things new in the community and new with the academics, stuff like that, to try to get everybody involved, and it seems like a good fresh start.
We are very excited. We've been out in the community talking with kids, talking with parents, most importantly with the parents, and explaining our goals and objectives and our goals. And I'll tell you what, our top goal is academics right now. And Coach Breda, we're going to have an after-school study hall before practice. You know, to get these kids in there. No cell phones, no sleeping, nothing. Just studies and reading a book if you need to. And those kinds of changes. And they're going a long way. But right now, we're talking with the community a heck of a lot more than I've ever done.
We're getting so much support from people and kids and parents and the administration. And it'll be exciting to get the kids out in the community and meet people and talk to the youth organizations. We're going to spend a lot of time in the community over the next couple months, gathering support and doing some charitable work, and you know, we're going to connect with the community a whole lot more in the next couple months.
I think it's an exciting time for Easton football. Coach Shifford has done a great job in the past, and you know, moving forward, I think we just got to continue the Easton tradition and look forward to see the good things that come about this year, 2017.
Welcome back once again to Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. And the big news down in the DMV region, the dismissal of John Thompson III as head coach at Georgetown and their men's basketball program after being there for 13 years. And, of course, the family legacy of John Thompson III. We're very pleased to be joined by the man who was all over this story for the Washington Post, Gene Wang, with a very comprehensive story the day this story broke. And he's joining us right now. Gene, thanks so much for your time and welcome to Sports Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
We appreciate you joining us. A very good article on what for me is sad news. I want to get your initial thoughts of this. I guess I should not have been surprised by this, especially in reading your article and some of the backstories and some of the things that were going on in the unrest among students, alumni, and so many other fans with Georgetown. But I thought the John Thompson legacy and the family name was going to be good enough to get him at least one more year. I know the losses have been there, some disappointing losses the last couple of years, but I thought Georgetown was going to give him one more year to try to right the ship, but obviously that was not the case. So your initial impressions of this dismissal?
Well, I thought going into the offseason after their last game, losing in the first round of the Big East tournament, that it could have gone either way, and mm-hmm. neither result would have surprised me. If they kept him, like you said, and because of the John Thompson legacy, certainly that would have caught no one off guard. But then you look at their record, and the results just have not been acceptable for a program that has been at the top of the Big East for so long, or had been when John Thompson Jr. was there. You know, missing the tournament three out of the last 4 years, back-to-back losing seasons, which hasn't happened since the first season of John Thompson Jr. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a very long time span there. So, yeah, plus the Board of Trustees decided that they're not necessarily married to have to having a Thompson run the program. So if you want to talk about moving forward, it may be the case that they don't hire someone with a part of Thompson's coaching tree to run the program going forward.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the impression, or did the university give one specific thing that kind of pushed this over the edge? Because it seemed that, again, according to your article, the fans were not unhappy. The students and the alumni had a petition with over 1,400 signatures calling for Georgetown to consider firing
right.
John Thompson. Some of the former players were on the radio a day or two before Reggie Thompson and Michael Graham, former players under John Thompson, were calling for fresh air with the program and calling the current program a mess. So obviously it seemed like there was a lot of unrest for several different levels. Was there one particular thing that was indicated or one thing that kind of forced Georgetown's hand?
Well, I think there were a combination of factors, and you referenced it. One was a toxic environment. I mean, you know, at games this season, fans were chanting, "Fire Thompson." And then on top of that, there was some unhappiness among former players who are loyal to John Thompson Jr. And then what I just mentioned a bit earlier about just the results weren't commiserate with what Georgetown expects from their basketball program. When you're at Georgetown, you expect to be contending for Big East titles every year. You expect to be going deep into the NCAA tournament. This Georgetown team was barely trying to stay above float ahead of teams like DePaul and St. John's who are rebuilding in the Big East. So that just, in the end, wasn't good enough.
It seemed like the motion offense was never something that Hoya fans were very comfortable with. When John Thompson first took over and was having success, it seemed like they kind of lived with it. But in recent years, it seemed like there was a lot of complaining about the way he ran his offense. Was that another one of the issues?
Well, I think a lot of that has, yes. I think a lot of that has to do with recruiting. And if you're a star player coming out of high school, do you want to play in a motion-based offense where you're scoring, where you're playing games in the 60s?
Yeah.
That to me doesn't strike me as, you know, if you're an elite athlete, you want to score the basketball. You don't want to be part of the system. Okay, now that's great in the Ivy League where you don't have athletic scholarships. That can work at Princeton. And if you, at Georgetown, it can work too if you have the right players. I mean, John Thompson III has sent a lot of guys to the NBA, like Greg Monroe, for example, Jeff Green, Roy Hibbert. Those guys can run it because they're such a great, talented basketball players to begin with. But when you're looking for, in this day and age of one and done, getting a great athlete for a couple years, bottling that and see if you can take a deep tournament run, those athletes just aren't coming to a program that's running this motion kind of offense.
I know the university is not anxious to have their student athletes running to the media following this news, but have you gotten the sense of any reaction from the players, current players, or a guy like Trey Mourning, who rarely played, the son of Alonzo Mourning, was there under John Thompson, rarely played this past year. He's one of the players that decided to leave Georgetown. Has there been any scuttlebutt or anything on social media that that you've heard about from recent, current or recent players?
Well, you can. There's nothing public. No public comments since John Thompson III was dismissed. But on social media, you mentioned some players who defected, who left the program, like Isaac Copeland. He had put up some references to, you know, not so pleasant references to his former coach after they had lost some games late in the season. So, and they've lost four players via transfer since August. So, and the most disheartening was losing the commitment of point guard Trey Waters out of high school. He was supposed to be their savior, their point guard who they haven't had in a while, to help kind of revitalize the program. Amid the uncertainty of JT3's status, he decommitted and now has reopened his process of being recruited. So, I mean, all these signs pointed toward perhaps not the best ending for John Thompson III.
Our special guest this segment, Gene Wang, a sports writer for The Washington Post, who covered the dismissal of John Thompson III at Georgetown. How do you see the process going forward for the university? Paul Tagliabue, a former NFL commissioner who's a graduate of Georgetown and is on the board, he's going to be involved in the process. There's rumors Patrick Ewing, senior, might be interested, or one of the candidates. His son, Pat Ewing Jr., was on John Thompson's staff last year. Do you think they would stay in-house, or do you think they're going to open things up and cast that broad net, as they say?
Well, based on our reporting, Patrick Ewing may be a little bit conflicted, you know, because of how it ended for the Thompson family, John Thompson III. Obviously, Patrick Ewing, a loyalist to John Thompson Jr., was the best player in program history, won a national championship at Georgetown. But still, you wonder, given how it ended for the Thompson family, if Georgetown wants to bring another Thompson legacy back to run the program, or split completely and go in a totally different direction with, for example, a coach like a Shaka Smart or a Tommy Amaker or a Mike Bray. Mike Bray and Tommy Amaker, both from the D.C. area.
Yeah.
So it will be coming home for both of them. And Shaka Smart, at formerly of VCU, now at Texas, knows how to recruit the area. And if you look at the way he played defense, we know that habit defense in Virginia Commonwealth, that fits right into what John Thompson Jr. had built during the beginning of his legacy, when they had a defense that no one wanted to face at all. And that's how they won all those Big East championships.
Do you anticipate this will take some time? I know they're probably anxious to get someone on board and firm up the recruitment, especially I believe they only have just 8 scholarship players right now on the roster. So do you think they'll move quickly, or could this take some time?
I think the sooner the better for them, and it could be as soon as this week if they make an announcement. If you look at the coaching carousels, are revolving. We see what happened in Indiana. They fired Tom Crean. You see Will Wade go from VCU to LSU. GW today just named Maurice Joseph their head coach after he was interim. So, yeah, programs are kind of getting their top level set in place. And right now it's a bit chaotic at Georgetown. In order to be able to get the program running in the right direction again, they want to get this done, to hire sooner so that recruiting can start and they kind of start rebuilding the program.
Before we let you go, what's the process going forward for the John Thompson family? They have that recently built a facility, the John Thompson Athletic Center. A number of former athletes under John Thompson Jr. and John Thompson III, former athletes contributing quite a bit of money for it to be built. And John Thompson Jr., of course, was just about at every Hoya game ever since he stepped down as head coach. How does the family move forward from this?
Well, you mentioned the $60 million athletic center on campus named for John Thompson. Yeah, he has that building. He has a statue inside that building. He still has an office in that building. So that's not going to change whoever the coach is going to be. Whoever the new coach coming in is, he's going to know the legacy of the Thompson family. And that's why the Georgetown basketball program is what it is. And that's why it is a desirable job. So, and John Thompson still goes to every home game. He has the same seat at Verizon Center on the corner on the baseline near the Georgetown bench. I don't suspect that's going to change either. So John Thompson Jr. is always going to be part of the program, but the new coach just has to be himself and run the program the way he wants to do it. He's not hired to be another John Thompson Jr., whoever it's going to be. So that's going to be the difficult job. You always going to have that shadow of John Thompson Jr. kind of looming over you, but yeah, you need to move in your own direction.
That's a great point. Gene, thanks so much for joining us and for your insights and continued success with you and your colleagues at the Washington Post covering this story.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you again.
All right. Our thanks to Gene Wang joining us from the Washington Post talking about the dismissal of John Thompson Jr. At Georgetown University. Our thanks to all of tonight's guests. And don't forget, we'll be back next week with another edition of Sports Talk. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.